Another day and another dollar. It's the Blossom Podcast with your father, Craig, and his friend, Jason, and they're weirdos as Blossom Buddies.
Nice. Did you write that during the break?
No, my brain wrote it as I said it.
Just as you said it. Days go by on the wings of my dreams.
That's
we did. Remember, we Perfect Strangers. We sang that old song on one episode, like in season one. I'm pretty sure.
Sweet. I'm glad we did that back then. I'm glad that 9 people heard it because.
No, back then it would have been like 18 people. Before the pandemic, and people were actually still listening to podcasts on the commute.
That's true. What
lost half our subscribers?
What's this fucking episode called? High Diddly D.
High Diddly D is the name of this episode, season 5, episode 12. We learn right off the bat that Six is into. I didn't get all the bands written down that she mentioned on the phone, but she's into Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, or Pearl Jam, as I wrote, Black Crowes, and Megadeth. She would be down to go to any of these concerts. I assume she's talking to Boomer, because as we learn later on, Boomer would rather see Yanni than any of these bands.
She is talking to the Boom Man.
Boomstick.
You know, the more she mentions Boomer, the more I hope we at least get a Boomer episode before this is all said and done. We have...
Oh, God, I hope Boomer shows up and it's fucking like, who would be hilarious to show up in 1995?
That guy who's like, whatever, on Full House. Who's in stuff?
DJ's boyfriend?
No. Maybe it was a guy that DJ was... No, it was like Kimmy Gibbler's boyfriend for a second, and all whatever.
I think we need someone bigger than Kimmy Gibbler's boyfriend. We need Fred Savage. But not Fred Savage, because he's
Hulk Hogan. Awesome.
Yeah. Six have been talking to Hulk Hogan this whole time. He shows up and he's like, oh, let's go see Yanni, brother.
I want to see the Black Crowes, dude.
The 24-inch pythons want to see Megadeth.
See, that one,
Hulk Hogan would probably, yeah, he'd be into Megadeth.
I think Hulk Hogan has been to some Megadeth concerts, honestly.
Probably. Probably brought his daughter there.
This episode was directed by Gil Junger and written by Dan Cohen and F.J. Pratt. We've talked about Gil Junger before, but I don't know if we've talked about F.J. Pratt specifically.
Do you think F.J. Pratt is Chris Pratt's dad? Or mom?
Or mom. He was a producer on various things. He's known for his producing.
Oh, okay.
He's only been a producer and a writer, and he's produced and written equally. And I think now that I'm saying this out loud, I think I've had this similar epiphany before. So we've definitely talked about this writing team, and that's all I have to say about it. And let's move on. Cause who cares? If you're listening to this, call me on my telephone. You have my number.
Yeah. Just call him. Send him a fax.
Send me a fax from the past into the future.
Yep.
Blossom wants to be in the school play. That's the story here.
Yeah. Blossom wants to be in the school play.
69 is a number. 6 is there. 6 wasn't used very effectively last week, and she's not used very effectively this week either.
Yeah. Let's see. We are pretty sure at this point that the director of the high school play is Mr. Pitt from Seinfeld. Yeah,
because there's Elaine's a poster boss on the
who
wall.
Eats the Snickers with the fork and knife.
Fork and knife. And then George starts to do it. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Woody Woodpecker balloon.
Yep.
Anyway, it turns out we're right about that. It is Mr. Pitt. But that's getting ahead of ourselves. We now cut to Frank and Kennedy doing giant Lego in the kitchen.
I said Duplo, but you pointed out that Duplo is actually bigger than Duplo. Lego. This is like those big plastic ones for
kids. The pegs on the Lego blocks are like 3 inches across.
Yeah. It's like my dick.
Crazy big.
So Nick's on the phone ordering pizza.
It's like a baguette.
Joey, he's trying to find out what everybody wants on the pizza. Joey comes in and asks if the third half can have pepperoni on it. Mm-hmm. And Nick just stares at Joey for 10 straight seconds. And that's probably the funniest thing that happens in this episode.
Probably. Not a great episode.
No. Joey has some... I didn't really catch what was going on. I think we watched this episode together. Mm-hmm. And kind of talked over this, but Joey had a great big scam idea. If he spent $20,000 on this credit card, he'd have enough points
Air Miles.
I guess it was like an Air Miles thing to go on a vacation to Europe where he was literally 1 year ago.
Shelly almost whips her boobs out because Tony and Shelly show up finally because they weren't in the last episode, but they show up and Tony, they're all like, oh, have some pizza, and Tony's all like, hey Shelly, dinner? And she's like, okay, and starts pulling her boobs out to feed the baby, but he's like, no, us, our dinner, we need to eat.
They're also very because
Tony and Shelly haven't slept in. And I can attest to this, having been a new parent, that like, oh man, like occasionally Pam's parents would come over just to let us sleep. They would be like, well, let us watch the baby. You guys go to sleep. And just like middle of the day, we'd be like, fine, thank you. We're going to fuck off and sleep for 2 hours. And it was the best. So I can definitely attest to what Shelly and Tony are going through at the moment.
That feeling... Like, I don't have kids, so I don't know what it's like for kids, but that feeling of finally going to sleep, that like you put your head on the pillow, you're almost so excited about the fact that you can sleep that you like can't sleep for a second, but then you just wake up 4 hours later.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, whoa, the fuck. Yeah,
it would be like that. We'd wake up at like 7 o'clock and be like, damn, like we slept right through dinner. We got to do something about that.
So Kennedy... one of the big storylines in this episode is Kennedy asking, where do babies come from?
That's everybody panics. Shtick.
It's a sitcom, so literally everybody panics.
Yep. Everyone's like, oh my God, how do we talk to, like Nick, especially, who has been through this with 3 kids already. They're just like, what the fuck do we do when a child asks where babies come from? And it's hilarious. They panic right through to the very end of the episode.
But the thing is you pointed this out, Carol... is like, what have you heard? And Kennedy just like rambles some kid shit. I don't know if it was really that specific. She's like, I can't remember. And then Blossom and Six come home and Carol's like, oh, here's Blossom and Six. And then just like backs away slowly. And that was pretty much it for now for that. We go to the living room.
Find out Joey can't fold baby clothes.
Which, Joey's folding laundry.
Baby clothes are the easiest to fold.
Just peak comedy. Just peak.
Like a baby, a shirt for a baby, especially a 1 week old baby or 2 weeks old, I guess, this baby is at this point. That shirt is about 4 inches long. No one cares how you fold it.
Right.
You don't need to fold it. You can place it in the drawer fully flat, wide open, and it's still like a 4-inch by 4-inch area. Of clothing,
you could keep a sock drawer of all the baby's clothes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one drawer can hold all the clothes the baby needs to wear.
Yeah, forever.
In fact, I would even go as far as to say this baby doesn't need to wear a shirt. Like when a baby is 2 weeks old, it's not wearing shirts, it's 100% onesies at this point. So there's a flaw in this episode. That baby would not have shirts.
How do adults get into a situation where they can go back to onesies? Because I feel like a onesie.
Get married and invite Steve and I to your wedding, because that was our wedding gift, was a couple onesies and some socks and blankets and stuff. But like my buddy Steve, he works for a company called Pook, and he likes it's not the only thing he does, but like sometimes he goes to like New York and like sells these super comfy like onesies and blankets.
So this episode is not sponsored by Pook.
It's not sponsored by Pook, but however, like, if you want to be comfy this winter, go buy Pook gear. I don't know if they have a website, but it's POOK.
My mom called me Pookie as a kid.
That's nice. You should get a Pook onesie and then it'll all come full circle. They're very comfortable. Last time me and Pam did shrooms, the Pook blanket was like my savior. It was, oh man, it's so soft. Like it's nice and heavy. Like it's almost like a weighted blanket. So like you get that, you're like enveloped by a blanket, and it's also like the softest blanket we have. So that's nice. If you want to do hallucinogenic drugs, wear Pook gear.
It's funny to me that we, you know, do mushrooms and always talk about how we were in the dire straits while on the drug, and we still go back to it for some reason. Yep. Like the trip it's worth it when you're there, but thinking about it going into it and thinking about it after, you're like, ugh. But when you're just there, like, I'm gonna
leave reality. Yeah.
Yeah, when you're there, it's amazing.
Mm-hmm. They're very funny. I find Like I come up with these funny ideas and then I try to tweet at Fox, the television station. I remember a few times ago, like a couple like 2 years ago, Pam and I were doing mushrooms and like we turned on like TV and You're the Worst was on Fox. Like they were just airing like episode after episode. And we watched two episodes of You're the Worst.
I don't know how you watch that show on mushrooms, because that show is fucking hard to watch stone sober.
Well, it's
Good. It's a good show, but like
it's frantic. It's heavy. It's a frenetic show. Yeah.
Yeah.
The second episode was when the dude, I think, goes to find like his dad and just like yells at his dad for half the episode. Yeah. Like it was not a good thing to watch on streams. But then the third episode was just the first episode again. So I was like, what the fuck? Like if this is a You're the Worst marathon, maybe do more than two episodes.
Where they just bang for the whole episode, basically.
I don't remember what the episode was, because I mean we were on shrooms. But then that came on, and I said out loud, I said my hilarious joke to my wife. I said, "No, Fox, You're the Worst." And then I tried to tweet that at Fox, and it took me about 20 minutes to.
Because when you look at a phone on mushrooms, it like it breaks reality. Like
it breaks reality.
You can be. I had this recently where I was on mushrooms and I was like looking around the room and I was like, "Hey, I'm not even feeling it. Like that's kind of lame. I'll just look at my phone." And then I looked at the phone and all the words and or all the numbers and letters were like melting into each other.
Yeah, they're not like connected to the screen and like your thumbs touching the glass of your phone. Like don't connect in your brain to actually what you're seeing. Like it's really sit and focus on what you're doing.
I'm gonna put that down. And then I'm going to turn the TV on and I'm going to watch something because obviously, and then I watched something and I was like, whoa, dude.
Was it Seinfeld? Seinfeld is my favorite thing to watch. I'm sure.
No, it was YouTube music videos from all over time and space.
Next time you get a chance to watch Seinfeld when you're on shrooms, you realize what a genius Larry David is, because he wrote like every episode of that show. And it's just like, holy shit, this guy like figured out the sitcom formula and has just nailed it episode after episode.
Yeah.
So
do you know who didn't nail it?
No.
Compared to Seinfeld, here's what happens next.
To whoever wrote this fucking episode of Lost.
They drop a little bit of knowledge, Tony and Shelley, that Tony has a job offer in Colorado. And I said to you while we were watching it, I think that's going to be their out for the season. That's going to be their, he's going to end up taking that job. We'll see what happens. Yeah,
that's how they lean into what they hope to be a spinoff is so, like Tony and Shelley go to Colorado. Blossom will of course go to college. And so will Six.
So and maybe the, but also
Nick and Carol raising.
Also posit that they got the word that the show was canceled very recently and now they're trying to come up with ways for these people to have endings to their stories.
It'd be funny if that wasn't even in the script. Tony and Shelley were the actors were just like, so about that job we got in Colorado, let's start filming that.
I'm gonna go be in a movie that Alex Winter is writing and directing about sideshow freaks. I think that's already happened by this time though.
Yeah,
remember that movie?
Nope.
Freaks.
Was it called Freaks?
Sideshow. Yeah. Anyway, it's written directed by Alex Winter, who plays Ted, who plays Bill and Bill and Ted. Because after Bill and Ted, the reason why we didn't see Alex Winter in many things is because he wanted to be a writer director.
You mean Freaked? Is that it?
Freaked. Yeah, that's
yeah. Brookshire. Yeah, that happened in 1993, so that had happened already. Oh, Mr. T is in that movie.
It's I think he plays the bearded.
I have not seen it yet. Shields.
I watched it a whole bunch when I was a kid because
holy shit hold up, I was gonna let it go but then I'm looking at the credits of Freaks and guess who's in it? Michael Stoyanov.
Yeah, I know, that's
okay
why I was talking about it.
It's just like holy shit,
that's why I was talking about it.
All right, I didn't realize that you
my joke
knew that Tony was in
the my movie. Joke was that he went to be in the movie Freaked. I said
so the joke went way over my head.
Yeah, it went way over your head. Hopefully the six listeners right now are like, I knew what he was talking about.
Yeah, hopefully. And then they're like, if Craig continues to be on this podcast, I'm not listening anymore.
Yeah, imagine having eight episodes of a podcast that's like a show recap and they start boycotting for the person to be kicked off the show with eight episodes to go.
They're like, nah, we just want Jason to talk to himself now. We're gonna start a boycott.
Oh man, well,
I need to stop. I'm going down an IMDb hole right now.
They try to leave. Tony and Shelley try to leave. They're like, I feel rested and I feel good about our situation. Now let's leave, definitely with our baby. And we have our baby and let's go. And of course they forgot their baby and everybody just bust a nut laughing. That's the phrase, right?
Hilarious.
That's the phrase, right?
Yeah.
I bust a nut when laugh. I laugh.
Jizz their pants laughing.
Yep.
And then Kennedy comes in and asks Joey where babies come from, and we get a hard woe on that.
Well, the woe came from, they kind of talk about it a bit while Joey's like fumbling his words and having a real hard time with the whole thing. And then he mentions something about Nick and Carol, and then Kennedy is like, is that the special thing that Nick does to mommy? And that's when we get hit with the huge woe. And the special thing, I think, was just making out or something. I think Joey's like, there's a few special things that mommies and daddies do with each other, and then they talk about them fucking each other all around the house, basically. And then, you know, Kennedy's pretty wise, I think. She doesn't have a British accent anymore, but it's fine.
Comes and goes.
Then we're in school. It turns out that Mr. Pitt is the teacher. He calls Blossom Mrs. Rizzo, which was like, that's not even close. I guess.
Yeah, but also close. Rizzo was the like second female lead in Grease. Like that's where my head went when she called her Ms. Rizzo. I was like, is he just like stuck in Grease?
Yeah. So we did
not the case.
We did miss a part where Blossom wasn't sure what to do in the beginning at the kitchen, and Nick says, why don't you do this monologue from Joan of Arc? And she executes this and the teacher's kind of like, you're not doing a great job. I don't feel it. Can you do it as a bird? And Blossom's head explodes and she leaves because she thinks that he's just trying to embarrass her.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like at the same time, like high school play directors, like they're going to do weird shit, like ask you to act scenes like a bird. Like when there was actually a book on like how to interview with Microsoft in the 90s. And it was like, here's the questions they're going to ask you. They're going to ask you what kind of tree you are, and then it gives you reason to answer specific kind of trees.
I'm the mighty oak.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that kind of thing. It's like, let's get surreal. And how about you do the scene like a bird?
And that you know, I kind of got it. I kind of understood where he was coming from, especially when, you know, Blossom storms home and goes up to her room and Nick goes up with her and they have a heart.
He does not want to teach Kennedy where babies come from.
No,
I'll take the teenage daughter having a crisis about a school play.
Exactly. That's like the next little segment. Right before that happens, Six is on the phone with Boomer, and that's we talked about that earlier. But Boomer is a character, but he's only on the phone. He's only in the phone.
I hope when we get the Boomer moment that it's Mike Judge and it's actually Boomhauer.
Dang on.
He's like, dang on. Well, that was
dang on, what? 6.
They don't go see Yanni, man. I'll tell you what.
Nick basically is like, look, this dude knows what he's doing. There's a reason why he's a special guest. If he wanted you to fucking do the shit as a bird, you should have just tried it out, because
who is the bird, you stupid idiot?
It's improv, essentially. He was trying to explain to her that this teacher
wanted Nick works in the arts. He gets it. He's not an actor, but he works in the arts. He's probably dealt with actors and directors before.
Yeah.
He's
so
like, listen, high school daughter, this is not important.
It's not. You're going to high school. He was also like, don't be afraid to fail. You know, this episode has a lesson. Finally, this episode finally has a lesson. It's don't be afraid to fail.
Yep.
But we get Carol finally explaining the birds and the bees to Kennedy. She's making like cookies or something or a cake, and she takes.
Oh yeah, she's got eggs in a wooden spoon.
She slams terrible. The wooden spoon into the egg.
Yeah, she's like, listen, the egg is the woman, the spoon is the man, and she just slams the spoon into the egg. Like the egg falls into the mixing bowl, and that's supposed to teach Kennedy where babies come from. But guess what? Kennedy still doesn't know what the fuck her mom's talking about.
No.
The spoon does kind of look like a sperm.
And it kind of all boiled down to a joke where she's like, you know, the baby grows in the mommy's stomach for 9 months and then comes out, and then the mommy takes care of the baby. And then she's like, what does the daddy do? And Carol's like, nothing.
Yeah. And I guess to wide applause.
Yeah. Everybody also, was like, yes,
it bothers true. Me. It bothers me when on TV they're teaching kids where babies come from and they say stomach. Like, say tummy, because that's like ambiguous, or belly. But like stomach, no, that's where you digest food.
No, that's where the baby grows. And pee is stored in the balls, right?
Pee is stored in the balls. White pee pee.
Your white pee pee is stored in the balls. if you're from the Comedy Button group and you're listening to this, that's a reference to the Comedy Button that I never heard that episode.
I have not heard any Comedy Button.
This guy's never heard a single episode, and I stopped watching around the 200s, and they're in the 600s.
I think I heard one episode when it was still GameSpy debriefings.
Yeah,
they crossed over
in the first 100 episodes or so. Mm-hmm.
I think I heard one episode because our friend Keith McNally did an episode about one of the Comedy Button members being sick or something.
Scott Bromley had a stomach thing or a
stomach cancer or something scare? Like something serious. Yeah. Like it was fucking serious as shit. Like it's, so we're lucky he didn't die. But that was back when it was still getting spidey briefings. Anyway, this has been Boston Buddies. We still have a few more things to talk about.
So that's true. Joey reassures.
I'm just trying to work my way out of this paper bag.
Joey reassures Blossom. We get a scene where they talk about this, that their dynamic in this season has been
bang pretty, on. The best good. Part of the season. Yeah.
That's the end. Blossom goes back to the audition and she tells that she's like, give me 5 minutes. And she tells the story about she's with her grandfather. I love this. I've always loved this too. Her grandfather's on his like deathbed. And he's like, I have to tell you something very important about the chalice that I have. You fill the chalice up with wine all the way to the brim so you can smell it. It brings the aroma up in the room. Makes everybody feel good that there's drinking going on. But it's very important that you drink from this side of the glass.
Only from this side of the glass.
And Blossom's
never like, this side.
Why not from this side of the glass, and points to the other side of the glass, and she takes a sip from the wrong side of the glass and the wine spills all over her shirt. And when I was a kid, that scene blew my mind. That
hilarious
little monologue fucking is stuck with me.
I did not see that joke coming. I probably should have as an adult. But
I'm glad that our microphones cut out because I was yelling the punchline.
Yeah, she drank. It wasn't about the glass itself. She just drank from the far side of the glass.
She's going to drink from the wrong side of the glass. Watch.
She just poured wine all over herself. And Mr. Pitt, the director, found it hilarious.
It is the funniest thing he had ever seen.
And he was like, okay, so other than Blossom, who else is going to be in this play?
Yeah.
And we never heard about the play again.
No.
By the way.
Because it probably fucking killed itself. So we get back to the bit with... So I thought the episode should have just ended right there.
Yeah, then we get this extra little bit with them talking to Kennedy.
With all these sex books.
Yeah, like I don't
not
know.
Not porno, know what but book like it was. Textbooks.
Textbooks. Like along the lines of The Joy of Sex, but probably not quite so graphic.
A little bit more clinical than that, I would say. Yeah. So anyway, they do the gag where they put a book in front of her face and she goes, whoa! She doesn't go, whoa, but she just goes, wow.
She should have. I bet they tried to get her to do it and they were like, you're not nailing it. Like,
you're not nailing the whoa. Kid.
Forget the whoa.
If you want to be a star this town, you better say whoa out. Like you mean it. Anyway, yeah.
I wonder if Kennedy ever showed up in like brotherly love.
Oh, maybe. As a love interest for one of the brothers, maybe.
Gross. Yeah. Maybe. Anyway, and then we got post credits. We got outtakes from that, the scene that Jason just described.
Yeah, and that's it.
Nick refused to do a line or something, and Carol was all like, "How am I supposed to work with this actor who won't talk about birds and bees with my daughter?" Something like that.
She also gives him shade about his acting, and that's where the joke came from.
Yeah,
like 3, 2, 1, action. He's like, "That was a slight on me," and gets up and walks away, and everybody laughs, and they laugh until they stop. So that's been another episode of Blossom Buddies, and Existential Dread seeps in now.
10 episodes left.
10 episodes ten to go. Left. We did it.
We've done over 100 episodes, by the way. Our 100th episode was like 2 episodes ago, and I didn't realize it until I was uploading it. So there was no fanfare on the episode itself. But yeah, this is our like episode number 102.
Maybe so
congratulate us on that.
Maybe you figure out what our next episode is, and when we're recording, it'll be like our 103 episode extravaganza, which I think would be pretty funny.
Lessons, no woes. We are Jason and Craig.
Blossom Buddies. You can find us on every single social media in existence. You can find us on Parler. You can find us on what's that new Donald Trump one?
Is it not Parler? Did he start his own? Because he was like, everyone's banned me. I'm starting my own social media.
He literally did that. Fuck, what's that shit called? It's called Patriot
Troops. How is it not Parler? Like, or Parlay, whatever.
Parler was banned. Parler was taken off the app stores.
Yeah. Was it taken off the Apple app store as well? No, it was taken off the Google Play store.
I think so. Anyway, that's a story for another time, kids.
I've been Craig.
I've been Jason.
We will see you next week.
Whoa. Bye.